Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Friends.
Man, those are kind words. I actually celebrated 11 years on Tuesday here on staff, and I'm grateful for Brad because he saw something in me and for me that I didn't see for myself. And so it's been a privilege to serve under him, to serve alongside of him, and just to do life in community together. So grateful to be here with you here this evening. If you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 10. As Josh said, we've been looking at these foundational practices. We started several weeks ago. We looked at this idea of the gospel. We embrace the gospel at a point in time where we recognize and admit our sin in comparison to God's holiness. We understand what Christ has done for us on the cross. We by faith receive eternal life, and we do it all because of the grace of God. And that is at a point in time or in a season in our life where we understand that. But we also embrace the gospel over time and recognize that we need to continue to live by God's grace day in and day out as he changes us, as he transforms us, as he makes us to look more like Jesus. And we do that through confession and repentance. We do that with the help of his Spirit and his word and even his people, that he might mature us in the midst of all that. And then last week, Josh did a great job of helping us recognize that we've got a story to share. And it's an important story to share because it's not our story, it's God's story. And Jesus is the hero of that story. And when we let what God has done for us and what he is continuing to do through us, when we share that with others, God uses that in powerful ways. And we need to be able to make a defense of the hope that we have. And so today what we want to do is look at this idea of what does it look like to embrace the gospel, but to intentionally pursue community with one another. And what I hope and pray is that what we come away with is a deeper understanding and appreciation for the fact that God has created us for community as human beings, but he's called us into community as Christians. I grew up my middle school to the teens and then into college during the 80s and the 90s. And this was back in the day. I know for some of you younger folks, you're going to be surprised by this, but we didn't have streaming. So like if I wanted to watch a show, I actually had to be in front of the television at the time that the show was on. And if I missed that show, then I didn't get to see it. And I had to wait 6 or 8 months for the reruns. I know that's crazy because you can binge on entire seasons like over the weekend. But that was how reality was back then. And we would go right in front of that television. And on Thursday nights on NBC, there was something called must-see TV. Anybody remember that? Must-see TV. And for probably, oh gosh, almost at least a decade and a half, people were glued to their televisions on Thursdays. Some of the most well-loved, beloved watch shows in the history of television were on. Shows like Cheers and Family Ties and the Cosby Show and Friends and Seinfeld and even later on shows like The Office. And they were must-see TV. Like people would literally arrange their entire week so that they could be home on Thursday night, sit in front of the television and watch what was going to happen in a Boston bar, a New York coffee shop, an office supply company in Scranton, like all of these different things. And there was this sense of like these quirky characters and what was going to happen. What was the latest tale that was going to happen to the Huxtables? Or were Ross and Rachel, were they really on a break? What was Kramer going to say when he busted through the door and said something, you know, kind of obscene or obscure? Like people were just drawn to it and they would schedule their whole lives around it. And I was wondering, as I was thinking about this message, like, Why are they so well loved? Even now, my girls will binge an entire, you know, season of Friends over the course of the weekend. Like, what draws us to these fictional stories? They're not real characters, but yet there we are. And I think it's because as human beings, we desire relationships. We hunger for connection. And we saw that playing out on our screens week in and week out. We would laugh. We would cry. We would get angry. We related to what we were viewing because there's a desire in us all to not only know, but be known in community. And research actually proves that. I don't know if you know this, but there's all these studies out there that show that people who have a strong social support, like family, friends, community, they're the folks who actually are happier, they have fewer health problems, they live longer, and they have a greater sense of purpose. I don't know if you knew that or not. The research shows that those who have strong relationships, healthy relationships, it improves their performance and their productivity at a significantly higher rate. What the research shows is that having community provides human beings with everything that they need for flourishing and success. And the opposite is true of that, right? Serious health consequences are for those who lack community. Studies show that heart disease, depression, high blood pressure, stroke can attribute to persistent loneliness. In fact, lacking a social connection is now considered more dangerous than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. In fact, it's more deadly than obesity, and researchers are contending that loneliness is a scourge. It's an illness that the medical community should actually treat like an infectious and deadly disease. We talk about COVID, but people are saying, what about loneliness? What about isolation? What about being disconnected from community? And what I think is amazing about some of that stuff, I did a lot of research this week looking at it all, is God's world, like the science, confirms what God's word has always said. And that is, we are created for community. If you take your Bible and you skip a rock from Genesis to Revelation, what you're gonna find is everything has the marks of community. Think about this, Adam in the garden, all alone, buck naked, standing there. And God goes, guess what, Adam? It's not good for you to be alone. Out of Adam's side comes Eve, and together he makes an intimate community of husband and wife and tells them to live one flesh. Then he does something, and he goes, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to make babies, have families, and create a community of husband, wife, sons, daughters, and live that out. Right? Then you move on in Genesis and you see that God reaches out to a guy named Abraham and he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, a group of people that are going to bear my name and be a reflection to the world around you. And then what happens is that those peoples, those descendants of Abraham, they end up in slavery in Egypt. And God shows up to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh in the palace and I want you to tell him, let my people go. Let my people go, because what I want to do is I want to take my people and make them into a nation. I want to give them land and I want to give them my law. And I want to say, this is how you do life in relationship with me. And this is how you do relationship with one another. And we see that throughout our Old Testament. It's not perfect. It's got lots of messiness to it all. But God is creating people for connection with one another. Then as you get to the New Testament, Jesus shows up, and Jesus does not live, even though he's fully God, he does not live a lone ranger kind of life. He gathers people, men and women, and they follow him, and he connects with them, and he teaches them, and he fellowships with them, and they do life together. And out of those hundreds of folks who followed him, there were 12, these 12 misfits, right? We call them disciples. And the idea behind all of them is he really spent a lot of time with them and invested and poured into them, even though they screwed up half the time. But he equipped them and made them prepared for when he was going to leave this earth. And he said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go make disciples. You're going to be a community of faith that impacts this world on my behalf. One of them, Peter, he says to him, I'm going to make you what we call the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And you see these churches popping up all over the world as he leaves this earth. And then you see Paul, as he writes through his things, he talks about this idea of the body of Christ, that this body is made of all of these different parts, all of these different peoples, the hand and the foot and the eye, and we're created uniquely and differently, but we come together in community. We fulfill what God has for us. And then as you get all the way to Revelation, you recognize that in heaven, we're going to have every tribe and tongue and nation. There's going to be black and there's going to be white. There's going to be male and there's going to be female. There's going to be Republicans. And I know this is crazy. There's going to be Democrats in heaven. And even crazier than that, there's going to be Dodger fans and Giant fans that are all going to exist together, right? And so you see this sense that God throughout the scriptures is creating people for connection. Author Henry Cloud says this. I love this quote. It says, God created us with a hunger for relationship. Relationship with him and with our fellow people. At our very core, we are relational beings. The soul cannot prosper without being connected to others. The soul cannot prosper without being connected to others. So there's this sense that God has created us for community, but I don't know about you. I look around and I go, there's a lot of broken community. There's a lot of broken relationships. I see way more messiness than I see good. If you create us for community, why do I look around and recognize that there's so much war, there's so much strife, there's so much divorce, there's church splits, there's online conflict? Why is it that it seems like nobody can get along with each other? Why is there so much harm? Why is community so important to us, and yet most of us have experienced so much pain and suffering and hurt as a result of it? Well, the answer is found in Genesis 3. It's sin, right? Sin disconnects us, relationship with God, relationship with each other. It destroys everything. Our rebellion, our pride, our unwillingness to trust God with our lives and obey what he has to say, it breaks relationship with God. It breaks relationship with other people. And now we see it. We see it played out in our lives. We see it played out in the news. We see it played out as we read through the internet. There's divorce, there's murder, there's abuse, there's strife, there's racism, there's war. Sin destroys everything that we were created for. In some ways, it's almost as if, is this the best it's going to get? Are we actually able to have anything good that can come from relationships or community if everything that we either see or experience is so discouraging and depressing? And this is where, as we even talked about in week one and week two, is this idea of the gospel, that the gospel invades the bad news of the world that we live in. Yes, there's sin, and yes, there's broken community, but Jesus comes, and through Jesus, we're actually reconciled to God in relationship. And as a result of that, we're actually able to be reconciled with one another. And it's good news that we have. It's good news that it changes not only how we view relationships, but how we do relationships. And God gives us the ability to live those out, not perfectly, but in ways that honor him and bless us. Author Robert Banks says this, that the gospel is not purely a personal matter. It's not purely a personal matter. It's a social dimension. It's a communal affair. And as Christians, we are not only created for community, but what I want to argue here tonight is that we're called into community. And that's where we're going to see here as we get to Hebrews 10. So if you've got your Bibles, we're in Hebrews 10. We're going to look at starting in verse 14 and walk through a few verses there. If you remember last week, Josh mentioned that Jesus is the hero of our story. Jesus is the hero's story. It's not our story, it's his story. If you look at Hebrews 10:14 there, it says, in some ways, Jesus is the hero of the story. It says, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What this author is speaking to is a group of Jewish Christians who were being persecuted in their day and age, and some of them were being tempted to return to the Jewish faith because of that persecution, and this author is reminding them, no, he's admonishing them, he's encouraging them, remember what Christ has done, and as a result of it, live this way. And so what that author says there in verse 14, it says, look, you don't have to keep offering up sacrifices over and over again, time and time again, year after year. It's been finished. Verse 14 is like embracing the gospel at a point in time and saying, Jesus has paid it all. Verse 18, as you keep moving there a little bit, it says, now where there's forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin. Like, we don't need sacrifices because Jesus has paid it all. It's taken care of. And because it's taken care of at a point in time for us, when we believe that, then we get to verse 19 where it says, Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That word therefore is in light of what was, right? Therefore, because of the finished work of Jesus, because of this good news, right, we get to not only embrace the gospel at a point in time, but we get to embrace the gospel over time. We get to live differently. You and I as Christians live differently because of what Christ has done. And he calls them brethren. Right? He calls them brothers. He's not talking to like a singular person. He's talking to a group of people. He uses communal language to this point. He's talking to them. They're brethren. Why are they brethren? Because they've been adopted into the family of God. These are people with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, social economic statuses, and he brings them all together, adopted in the family of God. And the same is true of us. So look at around a room like this, and we recognize we come from all kinds of different places and backgrounds, and yet we are the children of God, adopted into God's family because of Christ. And therefore, brethren, we can have confidence. That word confidence means freedom, liberty, boldness. It means that for those folks back when this was written, but also for us now, is that we have the ability to approach God without guilt or shame or remorse. There's an open invitation to come before God no matter what and say God loves us, he accepts us, he receives us, he offers us grace and forgiveness, and even when we screw up, which we do all the time, he's still for us and he walks with us by his grace, transforming us more into the image of Christ. This is such encouraging news in the midst of all of that. And so as this author is talking, he's saying, look, because of what Christ has done, therefore, right, we're going to live this way. And he gives three exhortations in verses 22 through 24. And each one of them starts with let us, this communal sense, let us. It says, let us draw near with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembly together, as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, right? That sense is let us. There's this sense that we live this Christian life out in community. How do we do that? We do that with faith, hope, and love. Let us draw near with full assurance of the faith that we have. We know that Jesus has paid it all. We understand that there's no condemnation for those that are Christ. Therefore, we are confident in our faith. But we need one another to be able to encourage us in that faith. It says, let us hold fast to hope through perseverance. We need to be steadfast because we know that even though life doesn't play out exactly the way we want it to, our God is faithful. Our God is a promise keeper. Our God is with us no matter what of our circumstances are. But we need one another to remind us of that fact because sometimes we have amnesia and we forget. And then finally, that last one, let us stir each other up to love. Let us stimulate each other up. That word means to provoke or entice. It's to call people to action and push them to care and compassion and service to meet the needs of others. And again, we need one another to be able to bring that because our selfish nature sometimes wants to fight against that and doesn't want to do that. But we need each other to stir each other up, to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. So we do this in community. Now, here's the fact about that is you can't draw near, hold fast, or stir up or stimulate if you aren't actually together. You have to be together corporately in order for this to happen. You need to see each other, to talk to each other, to experience each other. That's why he says, as you follow through there, it says, don't forsake our assembling together. If you do, as is the habit of some, then you will continue to fall away. You will continue to go back to the old life. You will not live out these things that he's calling you to. The Christian life is not a solo endeavor. It's a communal affair. And the vehicle in which God uses for community is the church. It's the church in which we intentionally pursue community with one another. Author John and pastor theologian John Stott says this. He says, I am assuming that we are all committed to the church. We're not only Christian people, we're also church people. We're not only committed to Christ, but we're also committed to the body of Christ. At least I hope so. For the church lies at the very center of the eternal purposes of God. It's not a divine afterthought. It's not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. What Christ has done on the cross is not just adopt us as children into God's family, but he's called us to be part of something, the ecclesia, the called out ones. In church, we gather so that we can do the things that this author is saying. We do this so that we can draw near, we can hold fast, we can stir one another up to love and good deeds. And think about that. Think about the fact that we gather week in and week out. Right? And why do we gather? Why do we come here on a midweek? Why will people show up here on a Sunday? Why are churches all over the world going to gather and people are going to show up? Well, what do we do when we gather? We do several things. One, we preach the word. We make sure that we take the word of God and we go, this is the word of God and it's profitable for everything in our lives. This has everything that we need to be able to know life, to know God, to know what's wrong with this world and the solution to it. And we not only study it, but we submit our lives to it and we do it corporately together. So we study the word. We also sing the word. We recognize that we come together to worship. We're worshiping through song. We're reminding ourselves of these truths of who God is and who we are and what are the promises that he's offered to us and corporately sing them. So it's not just these guys on stage singing, but we're singing these truths and we're reminded of who God is and what he's done. We pray the word. We pray corporately together. We say, God, you're amazing. We adore you. We worship you. We give thanks for every good thing in our life, even the hard things in our lives. We present our requests to God and we say, God, we need your help, whether it's specifically or it's corporately. We pray and together and sing that word and preach that word. And finally, we see that word. We do things like communion where we remember what Christ has done for us with broken body and with shed blood. And we take bread and we take juice and we celebrate together what he has done. And then we do baptisms and we're together and we celebrate the fact that somebody's life was dead, but because of Christ, they have a new life in him and they've risen to new life. And we celebrate that. And we go crazy when that happens. That's what it looks like to gather together in a local church and be a part of that local church in a way that's tethered to the ministry and mission of that church. Now, one of the things we've found here at The Well over the years is that by and large, attendance around here is about once every 3 weeks. Now, that's pre-COVID when, you know, we didn't have the same opportunities to gather. And that's not everybody in this room, but that's based on some of the kids' check-in stuff. We recognize people are coming once every 3 weeks. And this is not a drive-by guilting, so hear me when I say this, but you know, there's sometimes some good reasons why we don't come to church. Maybe it's been a long, tiring week and we just need a little bit of rest, or maybe the kids we're taking them to the lake or to the beach and we're just getting away, and that's great. But often it's just because we're so busy with other things. We're running around with kids' soccer and volleyball and swim and whatever it is, and we don't have time because, you know, my job is I gotta work a little extra or whatever it is. And there's always these kind of excuses that keep us from being able to gather. And what you see in this Hebrews text is this idea, again, not guilting, but the sense that we cannot live out the Christian life without consistently gathering. It is vital to your spiritual health to keep coming week in and week out so we can preach and sing and pray and see the word with one another. See, we're called into community. We're called into this thing called the church, and it's not optional. It's necessary to live the Christian life. But it's not just the gathering themselves. These are great, but these last about an hour and 5 minutes, and then you go about your way. We're also called into community in smaller pockets. Church like this, you could come on a Sunday, there might be 700-800 people in this room, right? You probably maybe know two or three of them, maybe you know a few more because you've been here longer. But what does it look like to live in kind of smaller pockets of community? A lot of people will come to church, but they aren't connected in that other place, and so in some ways they're living sort of this isolated individual life. Because God calls us into a smaller pocket. And what happens in those smaller pockets is what we should be doing in those smaller pockets is living out what the Bible calls the one another's. You know the one another's, you read through your New Testament, there's about 100 of them in about 94 verses that we find. Some of them are spoken by Jesus, a lot of them are written by Paul. But there are all these one another's that this is what it looks like to live the Christian life in community with each other. So it's things like love one another and serve one another and forgive one another and be devoted to one another, and confess your sins to one another, and admonish one another, encourage one another, right? Show preference to one another. There's all these things that are there, and it's not just, hey, we got together, we had some barbecue, the tri-tip was awesome, we watched the game, that was cool. It's not just, hey, we got together and studied the Bible, and that made us smarter Christians. It's not just, hey, we went down to the local mission and served together, now we feel better about ourselves. Like, living out the one another's in biblical community is this sense that we're trying to help each other look more like Jesus. We're trying to help each other grow spiritually and turn from sin and embrace God's grace. We're trying to help each other live out the difficult things that happen in this broken and fallen world, to care for one another, to bear one another's burdens. And we're doing it in this kind of messy, frustrating, difficult, challenging way, but we're trying to help each other to look more like Christ. True biblical community is about growth, accountability, care, and support. And if we're going to live out the gospel, we can't do it on our own. We need one another to be able to do that. And I know that's true for my story. See, I grew up with parents who were Christians. I went to church. I went to Christian school. I placed my faith at a point in time when I was young. I got baptized. I embraced that gospel. But I lived my life very isolated and very disconnected from community. I believed in the idea of people. I was an athlete. I was a coach. I believed in team, you know, the value of gathering people together and each doing their part and trying to accomplish something. But I didn't apply that to my spiritual life. I did it in kind of my practical life, but not my spiritual life. I didn't realize that God had created me for community and called me into community. And so I got married to my wife, Jen. We started our lives. We sporadically went to church. Sometimes we would, sometimes we wouldn't. We always had excuses for it. We never got into a small group. I had Christian friends. We'd get together and talk a little bit, but never living out the one another's. And in that, right, I lived this sort of isolated individual life. And then what also was the thing is at the same time, I was hiding all kinds of sin. I was hiding a porn addiction. I was struggling with a bunch of food addictions. We were struggling with finances and marital stuff. And I never brought anybody in. I never let anybody know that we were dealing with that kind of stuff. And in some ways, I go, man, it's amazing that we're not divorced. It's amazing that, you know what I'm saying, I'm even standing up here today talking to you about all of this because God in His grace, He started to reveal to me the importance of that. And took a lot of hard things, a lot of difficult situations, and a lot of dumb tacks. But over the course of the years, I'm thinking back to 2003, we're living in Santa Barbara, and we realized we're all alone, we're away from family and friends, and we need to find a local church. We found this local church, Calvary Chapel. And every single week, they just opened up their Bible and taught right from the scriptures, and they proclaimed the gospels. And they said to us, to everybody at the church, you got to get in a small group. We got in the first small group. We did 4 years of marriage. We finally got in a small group with these other couples that are in the same kind of season of life as us. We had an older couple who are leaders. And I go, oh, this is a little bit of what the Bible's talking about when it talks about community. Love that. Love being able to go consistently. And then fast forward a couple of years, we end up here back here in Fresno. And we go, we've got to find a church. We've got to find people. And so we show up at the well back in the day, 2005, and started coming. And I remember Brad saying in those first couple of weeks, well, groups and teams. That's what we do at this church. I'm like, okay, that's what we do at this church. So I jumped onto the parking lot team at the Fig Garden campus. And my job was to come every week and hang out with this guy named Steve. And we would pull out all the chairs and get everything set up. And then I would stand on Gettysburg. And I'd just wave at people as they were driving up and parking and coming into campus to go to the gathering. Hey, how's it going? Glad you're here. Welcome to the well. That was my deal. I served on a team. I started to get connected with folks. Then they made Jen and I life group leaders. To this day, I have no idea why they made us life group leaders. I think it was because I was a Christian. I had a Bible and our house was open. Like, I guess that's the reason. This was back in the day where, you know what I'm saying, we were just starting to start a lot of stuff. They made us a life group leader. And so we opened up our home and we started to do life with folks. Folks like the Toesroods and the Smiths and the Zooks who still go to our church. We're starting to live out some of the one another, starting to let each other grow and mature. And over the last 15 years of being at this church, I've just seen God use community in such a powerful way to change and transform my life and to change the way that I view my marriage and to change the way that I do parenting and to bring things out into the light that I was struggling with and watching freedom come. And I'm so grateful for it. And now in some ways I go, man, I need community. I need to be a part of a local church. I need ongoing community. I need the people of God to help me as I continue to grow. Now, I wish I could tell you that community has been awesome. And if you get it, be a part of a community group or whatever that would look like, that you're never going to have any problems and it's always going to be awesome. But that's not the truth. Community is messy because people are messy. And even though we're saved by grace, we're still being sanctified by grace. And so we've had to live that out over the years. But I'm convinced that it is the way that God calls us in our lives. And it's so worth it. But there are times when I want to maybe run to isolation or I want to run to a place where I'm not allowing myself to be in community and I have to fight against that. But God has been gracious and I love what we get to be about here at this church. This church for 20 years has had the same mission statement, helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. That's our statement. It hasn't changed. And it's this sense of going, what does it look like to help us vertically connect here with the Lord, which is, again, that idea of embracing the gospel. What does it look like to horizontally connect with other people, which is intentionally pursuing community? And how do we help each other grow to be more like Jesus so we can make a difference in our world for His kingdom and His purposes and His glory? And if you've been around here a while, you probably at some time or another have heard Brad talk about Acts 2. In Acts 2, there's this beautiful picture of the early church. And the early church is gathering in the city of Jerusalem and they're coming together and they're doing some things that we just talked about in terms of Hebrews and in general, is they're gathering consistently. It says they devoted themselves, which they made it the highest priority that they came together over and over and over again. And when they came together, what they did was they studied the Word of God. God. They took communion with one another. They prayed together. They worshiped with one another. They lived out the one another, serving each other, meeting each other's needs, bearing each other's burdens, confessing sin to each other. And as they did that, as they lived that out as a church, as a community, there was a sense, the Acts passage says, a sense of awe. Like they were overwhelmed with what God was doing. God was adding to their number. He was letting them have favor with folks in the city. God was at work because the people of God realized they were created for community, that they were called into community, and they lived in community with one another. And that's what we've been trying to do from day one around here and continue to want to go, man, let's have a sense of awe of what God is doing as we live this out faithfully to it all. And so how do we do that at the Well, right? If you're new to the Well, just to give you a little bit of background, if you're not, you in some ways you understand this, we gather. We gather every single week. We try as consistently as we can to always gather. In fact, even in the midst of COVID, first we gathered online digitally, but at some point we realized, gosh, we've got this huge space over at the Clovis campus. Let's gather outside. And for 43 straight weeks, we had the privilege in person to be able to gather, study God's word, pray God's word, sing God's word, see God's word, and what a privilege it was to do that. So we're going to do that every week at midweek. We're going to do that at our two campuses. We're going to do that in the morning and in the evening. We're going to do that in English and in Spanish, and we're going to create a place for you to come consistently and hear the word of God and experience community with one another. And then we're going to say, hey, we want you to get into community life. If you're a part of this church, if this is your home, if you're an active member, that you're in community life of some sorts. And our community life environments are varied. They're everything from regen to re-engage to women's Bible study to foundations to life groups. There's so many different options for you to get connected and start to live out those one another's. And even though regen is different than re-engage in terms of why maybe people show up, the heart is the same. It's community. It's discipleship. It's the sense of how do we do this together to grow to be more like Jesus. And so we live that out. And then the final thing in some ways too is a great place of connection and community is even just serving around here. Being at Summerpalooza the last couple weeks ago at both Fig and at North, what was just fun is see people running around with these yellow t-shirts and bandanas, high-fiving each other, throwing balloons at one another, but all gathering together for the sake of helping these kids, 700 of them, know who Jesus is and worship him and what it means to live in community with each other in the midst of that. There's that bond that took place. Think about our re-engaged leadership team of these folks who've been serving in the ministry for the last 4 years and how we gather every week and pray for each other and confess to one another and share the good things and the bad things that are going on with our lives. And so there's these different ways we gather, we have community life, there's serving opportunities. That's what we're about, because the Christian life is not a solo endeavor. It's a communal affair, and we're not only created for that, but we're called to that. And I hope and pray that you hear that, you understand that, and there's a willingness to embrace that as part of the Well Community Church. We want to be about living in community with one another. And my prayer would be for you two things, two takeaways as we conclude here this evening. Number one, as you hear all of that, that you would be willing to sort of examine yourself. Examine yourself, meaning ask yourself the question, do I understand God's design for community? Have I been resisting God's design for community, that calling that we have? Have I been making excuses? Have I been allowing myself to be too busy or not thinking it's worth it? Or even being honest and saying, you know what, I've been hurt in previous community experiences, whether it's at another church, maybe it's even here at this church. And so there's a sense of fear to that. Would you examine yourself, go before the Lord, maybe chat it through with somebody that you trust. And then the second thing would you do is would you maybe for the first time or maybe in a while, would you exercise new muscles? Would you take a step? Would you come more regularly to our gatherings and figure out which one works best for you in your schedule? Would you volunteer to help in some way just so you can start to connect with folks? Would you jump into one of our community life environments, show up on Monday night at Regen and just check it out and say, what's this all about that I've heard so much about? Or if you're married, come to Reengage on Tuesday night. And go, man, let's just work on our marriage. Whether we think our marriage is in the dumps or we think we've got a really good one, we can get better at it. Let's connect in community in those environments that we had. Because the heart of it is God wants us to live, as messy as it is, as difficult as he wants us to live in community, because that's how he uses it to grow us. That's how he uses us to further what he's doing in this world. And we get the privilege to be a part of all of that. I'll conclude with this. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we, you and I, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Let's embrace the gospel. Let's intentionally pursue community. And let's then watch God use that to transform us and use that to transform the world around us. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to gather in your name, to not forsake the assembling, but instead to come here with the intentionality of worship and the hearing of your word and the connection with one another. I just pray for us as a people. I know that community is messy and difficult and challenging, and yet it's beautiful. And you've called us into it that we might pursue it and intentionally enter in so you'll use it. You'll use it for your glory. You'll use it to help us to be more like Jesus. You'll use it to even link arms for the sake of reaching our city for Christ. So God, now as we worship, would you, as always, allow our voices to be lifted up together in community, making much of Jesus, our King, our Savior, and our hero. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.